This call may be recorded. Press 1 to accept.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, sorry about that.
Phone died.
What?
The phone died.
Oh, okay. All right.
I didn't hear what you said.
About what?
Oh, I didn't hear you.
What?
I don't know. I didn't hear you.
I said okay. Anyways, I think that, do you feel like your mom is being honest with you about, like, how her paying the rent on one of our rentals for you, like, puts her in a position to be able to manipulate our settlement and manipulate me and make sure that we get divorced so that she's absolved of all her improprieties and on equal footing with you, like, is she being honest with you about that, or do you think she's just trying to not say all of that and make you think that she's just helping you because she doesn't want you homeless?
She represents to me that she wants us to be together and be terrified of me being homeless.
She is terrified of you being homeless?
Yeah.
Huh? Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So, if that's the case, then it would be really easy to get her to pay for an apartment for you.
I want to be close to my children and close to you so that we can make a relationship here.
Yeah, but you understand right now? But you understand that right now, when you're close to me and when you're close to the children, you're doing really destructive things. Like, you knew that before I visited you at Honey Lake, we even went through Nathan to, you know, make it clear that there are necessary boundaries when you and I are in front of the children so that you don't give the children the false impression that you're perfect and I'm just tearing our family apart because I'm a terrible mother. Like, part of that was not, you know, hovering and saying, I miss you, or I love you, or trying to do hugs. And it was extraordinarily manipulative for you to wait until visitation of your last visitation day was already over. And it couldn't influence whether I decided to visit you in the future, to take that opportunity to make a really puppy dog face in front of the kids and look really hurt that you weren't getting a hug. Like, that was extraordinarily emotionally and psychologically harmful to them. And it is extraordinarily telling that you did not choose to do that on our 4 previous visits. You know what you're doing when you're doing it. You know.
I only did that this time because this week you asked me if I was husband.
Because what?
Because on our phone calls, you asked me if I was. I thought that maybe you would ask me. I'd let them try.
Because of what? I'm sorry, because of what?
The speak on the phone, you asked me. Are you there?
I'm here. Because of what?
You tried to. You hear me?
I can hear you. Because of what?
I only tried to hug you.
Because of what? Because of what?
I only tried to hug you because you got the phone and asked me if I was going to hug you.
Because this week on the phone I asked, you don't need to repeat the beginning part of the sentence. You keep saying the same thing, but your voice gets cut out when you get to the one thing I need to hear. So you don't need to say, I only tried to hug you because I already heard that. And you don't need to say, this week on the phone, you told me, because I already heard that. But the part after that where you always cut out, can you please tell me what it is?
I don't know what you're missing.
The part that comes after, I only tried to hug you because this week on the phone you said.
Yeah, if I'd be willing to hug you. I said, yes. But maybe you would want to hug. And I was hoping to take this one.
I said, would you be willing to hug me?
Yes.
Do you have a recording of that?
Probably. I don't know if I can find it.
Would you be willing to hug me?
Yeah.
I have to wonder what the context was. Because we had really specific conversations where we set that as a boundary.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm just saying, in like, if you're actually in recognition that you're actually doing really psychologically and emotionally harmful things to me and the children during our separation, then you're not going to cling so tightly to this idea that you need to have this physical proximity to be able to continue to perpetrate those things that you do without even thinking as an ingrained habit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you living a block away from us actually makes it more likely that you're not going to be able to stop being destructive enough for us to remarry. You know what I'm saying? Like, asserting your right to continue to cross boundaries. That's part of the problem. You really want to work with me?
What?
Do you really want to live with me?
Another trick question.
Huh?
Hey. I'm worried that's a trick question.
What?
I'm worried that that's a trick question.
Why?
You're going to say that if I want to live with you, that that's abusive, or if I don't want to live with you, that I want a divorce.
No, but I'm just saying, like, there's a different way to go about it. Like, if you want to live with me, like, you would be, you know.
My wife, what are you talking about? Right.
perfectly easy, Dustin. I'm just asking you to submit to the godly authority that you graciously put in your life. Like, we are so blessed, Dustin. Most couples don't have this. Most couples don't have what we have. We have some really, really emotionally mature people to walk through this with us who love you, unconditionally love you, and will sacrifice for you in every way. You're not talking about unethical men. You're not talking about dysfunctional men. You're not talking about unreasonable men. You're not talking about men who would ever take advantage of you. We're talking about people who really love you. And if Jackie Hayes told you that, you know, maybe you should make sure that you have plenty of visitation in the settlement, I probably would have told you the same thing on that same day. Like, that's not out of line. It's not dysfunctional. It's not wrong. Good, sound, reasonable perspective that I am in agreement with. And the men who told you
that the kids 50% of the time, Darren. Yeah.
No. He told me that he didn't tell you that.
Well, he did.
No, he told me that he didn't tell you that.
Well, he did. I'm trying to write our elders out of my life. I'm not.
What?
I think I'm trying to write our elders out of my life. I'm not. They reached out to them.
I know, but what you are trying to do is discredit them. And what you are trying to do is make them look like they're not functioning and that they have no business giving anybody advice about anything. Like, you are doing what's called devaluing. You're trying to devalue them to the point that you don't have to follow their opinion, even when their opinion is that you're abusing your wife. And I recognize it because you've done it to me. You did it to me before we got married. You devalue me to make yourself look like the wise one and me look like the foolish one, to the point that you're the only one who's allowed to be the sole judge of whether you're abusing your wife. Your wife, who sees it with her own eyes and has bruises, doesn't get to weigh in on whether she's being abused. The elders who see it with their own eyes don't get to have an opinion about your wife, whether your wife is being abused. You literally want to be the only person in the entire world who gets to be the judge of whether your wife's being abused. That's a little bit unfair coming from the predator.
I don't actually want that.
Right? Well, who else gets to weigh in, Dustin? I mean,
what's that? What'd you
who
say?
Else gets to weigh in on whether you're an abuser? There's got to be somebody besides the perpetrator. Who else gets to act? Who
will you trust to actually have an opinion on when you're being abusive?
It's got to be somebody besides the perpetrator. That's obvious.
There's a lot of time with those elders following advice from them. The only time that I didn't follow their advice was when they gave me different advice.
That's not true. You went to Neil Houghton.
I went to Neil Houghton because I wasn't...
What you had been asked to do was not to talk to other people about it, and this is why. If you had followed their counsel, everything would be okay right now. But you walked outside of God's will. You walked outside of the wisdom of men who understood that we were deep enough into a really deep, sticky thing that it would not be smart for you to be talking to people who don't have the full picture. You stepped outside of God's will when you went to Neil without anybody else with you. And this is the result.
I sort of killed myself. I don't.
No, I'm saying, like, go back to that day you decided to disobey the elders and go to Neil. Go back to that day. And imagine that you haven't gone to Neil. So if you hadn't gone to Neil, you would have not gotten referred to go talk to Jackie. If you hadn't gone to Jackie, then you wouldn't be convinced that Jackie thinks that you need 50 times sharing, and therefore all the elders can't be trusted to tell you that you're abusing your wife. And you wouldn't be suicidal right now. Like, this
went
is all
Neil
a result.
Because I was suicidal, Aaron. Because I was suicidal. I went to Neil because I went to our church. There was nobody there that I could talk to.
Did you tell Neil that? So you went to church and the doors were locked, or they wouldn't talk to you, like, literally?
I went to church. Scoffing at me. His wife was taking my kids away without even letting me hug them goodbye, and everybody else just walked away and wouldn't talk to me, which they always do now. It's not a thing at all.
What? You're saying Allison took your kids away without letting you say goodbye?
No.
What?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you know that goodbye ritual that you're doing is a little bit of a power grab. Like, you recognize that you always know when your visit with your kids is ending, and you always wait.
I hug them and kiss them goodbye, Aaron. What?
Right, I'm just saying, like, you could plan, if you're going to be somewhere at 3 o'clock, you could plan to be there at 2:59 and a half so that you could have 30 seconds to say goodbye to your kids, or you could plan there to be there at 2:55 if you want 5 minutes to say goodbye to your kids.
But
people are consistently, like, telling you that you're using it to get time in front of your wife that is not healthy for the children to be seeing that your wife is
not there, and I was not giving them a five-minute goodbye. I was hugging them and kissing them goodbye, which I was not able to do because they were
Why are you dropping the kids off to Allison?
Because weren't there for whatever reason. Oh, no.
I don't know if this is the last time you had the kids on the weekend.
What?
Like, you brought them to Missional Community after you had them that weekend?
I was going to get help there. I literally couldn't get help there. I literally showed up at my childhood bathroom doorstep, who I haven't seen in years. Out of an emergency to get help. I needed it.
And you what?
And I needed it.
Oh. But he believed that you were suicidal because someone was taking your children away from you.
No.
Well, you understand that in a situation where you have four elders who wisely are telling you what you actually need to do to be able to live with your children 100% of the time, because they actually know what's going on and what's going to lead to that positive outcome. For somebody else to think that you're suicidal because people are trying to take your children away from you is probably not a good person to be getting advice from.
That's not what I told him.
Okay, so it just doesn't make sense to me why you think that somehow something that Neil and Jackie say somehow negates, like, the really good advice that you got from them as a team.
I followed the letter that they gave me. I've done more than follow it since then. I don't know how to give you anything else here.
I think that week was pretty rough because you were doing a lot of blame shifting in our family wizard. I think that you were not being honest when you were giving me messages saying that you would take 100% of the visitation time that you were offered. I think that everybody was rightly nervous that you were going to paint me as somebody. When the fact was that Christmas week you didn't have enough time off of work to have them 100% of the time, and the fact was that you knew that what would be in the children's best interest would be to have some normalcy and to get to do their normal Christmas stuff with me, like, you knew what was in the children's best interest. I knew that you were, that week, you were doing these harassing, blame-shifting messages when I asked you, you know, when you wanted them, and I was offering them to you, and you were telling me that I had to pick the schedule. We did. It was so ridiculous how many back and forths we did, because everybody was like, wow, it's really obvious. He's trying to make Erin have to pick the schedule that's in the kid's best interest so that he can point a finger at her and say that she's not giving him enough time with the kids. That is a really sick way to use the elder's advice of saying that he should let Erin pick the time sharing. She's literally offering him whatever he wants, and there's a good chance that he's going to flip this whole thing next month and say that he's pursuing 50-50. And there's a really good chance that he's going to use whatever Erin picks for Christmas to say that she can't be trusted to foster a relationship between the children and their father. We did not see this coming, that Dustin would use the elder's advice in such a manipulative way, but wow, look, here he's doing it. And I would put it back on you in our family wizard message, and you'd come back in a real judgmental way. I've told you that I would take all of the time allotted to me. I've come to love the children, and they love me too, and ask for more time with them. I mean, all this grandiose verbiage to paint yourself as this amazing father who's entitled to so much with this withholding wife. And I literally will let you have them 24/7 every day. But you're not willing to admit that your work schedule is always going to come first, and your work schedule is always more important to you, and your work schedule doesn't really allow you to be with your kids 100% of the time.
And it turns out, lo and behold,
weeks later, all of a sudden you flipped and you were pursuing 50-50, and you were telling lots of people that your wife was withholding. It was... it was amazing, but you did it. You sure did it.
So, if you want to go around and say, I'm doing everything they told me, but they say I'm not being genuine enough, like,
that's why, Dustin.
That's not the way in which somebody who's submitting to that kind of counsel speaks to his wife, messages his wife, slips his tactics on his wife, paints his wife as the villain, plays the victim when he's been the perpetrator, like, none of that. And if you weren't behaving in those strange tactical ways, then none of this would even be happening. Like, they would have sat down with you, and they would have said, you cheated on your wife while she was in Cape Cod. And you would have said, yeah, I did. I really, really did. And it wasn't even Julie's fault. I was the one who was pursuing it. And they would have said, there's forgiveness on the cross. The good news is that you don't have to live in guilt or shame because Christ paid it for you. And the good news is that you have a whole family here that loves you and is going to help you prevent this kind of thing from happening in the future because it's really destructive. But you're going to need to quit that job. And you don't need to worry about the money. We'll support you financially. We'll house your children. We'll feed your children. We've got you. And God's got you. And God's never going to leave you or abandon you. And you can rest in that. And we would have gone home that night and we would have had sex. And we would have slept together in the same bed every night. And I would have a hot meal ready for you on the table whenever you get home from your new job at Lowe's. I mean, it's just... all of this. There's no reason for any of this. None. You're not a victim of anything, you know? And I'm not saying you have to work at Lowe's. I'm just saying that, like, the extremity of the emotional, psychological, and social abuse that you've been carrying out for the last 6-7 months is not something that you could possibly express to Neil Helton unless you spent 7 months talking to him for 3 hours a day. And it's not something you could express to Ted unless you spent 7 months talking to him for 3 hours a day. Like, the enormity of the manipulative actions that you have carried out are not expressible in just 20 hours of talking.
You don't think anybody can help you, basically?
What?
What?
Help me, basically.
You don't think anyone can help you?
Don't.
What?
Don't think anybody can help me.
What?
You don't think that anybody can help me?
What?
You don't think that anybody can help me?
Oh, do I think anybody can help you? I do. I probably at this point,
nothing that's more important than me.
Probably at this point, the easiest would be for you to just stop arguing and never have an opinion about anything again. And just choose that being my husband is more important. And there might be another way. There might be a way where we ship you off to Germany for 6 years to meet the world's foremost expert in cutting-edge psychoanalysis and therapeutic, and then you, you know, somehow unwrap. I don't know.
What's that, being a husband, Aaron?
The easy way is to just stop fighting. And just be willing to listen to other wise people around you. Because you're saying that you were deluding yourself into thinking that you were following their counsel. While I know, but I'm just saying, like, to be creative enough to tell me that they had directed you to choose the time sharing schedule and then loop me into that whole thing with Christmas instead of just manning up and saying I can't get off work and then blame shifting and trying to make me look bad for asking you when you could have the kids for Christmas. Like, that was all going on. But, I mean, aren't you, the day that you're talking about, wasn't that the day that you somehow drove by my house when you're supposed to be with the kids in Jacksonville?
What?
Like, aren't you talking about the day that you drove past the house and then you took me in the hallway at church and said I was with a man and... The kids said that they, like, spent the whole day going with you to take pictures of your work sites. I mean, isn't that what you're talking about?
The house.
I know, but you obviously had work.
I have no idea what day that was, but the kids do go and take pictures with me sometimes, really, and go ahead.
Well, yeah, I'm just trying to put some context to your claim that, you know, your church had abandoned you when you were being so perfect to, like, follow their counsel. I think that we're talking about the weekend that you somehow... somehow were driving around with the kids.
I was being perfect following their advice, and...
I can't hear you.
I'm not saying that I ever follow any advice perfectly. I'm saying that I was not in a good place and I went to our church to get help, and our senior pastor was working at me and his wife was trying to take our children out of my possession, but I was trying to say goodbye to them and there was no
I think that that's a little bit unfair of you to remove. I think it's a little bit unfair of you to remove it from the context of your behavior that same morning.
But we had a great day. Had a great day.
What?
I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, the kids had a great weekend together. And a lot of
I know, but you need to understand that Kate McDonald is a licensed clinical social worker and that she saw you stalk me into the hallway. The one time that you knew you could get me alone, because I have put so many physical protections in place for me. I've had to be displaced from my own house so many times just to avoid being there with your abusive behavior. And my mom has become really, really, really uncomfortable with you shifting your psychological abuse onto her now that I'm not available as a target. Like, you're aware of all of that, and you do, and as a predator would.
Oh, it was in a public place at our church, so.
I know, but not in front of other people. Like, you stalked me into a hallway when you were supposed to be listening to a sermon. And Kate heard what...
In a public place, and I asked
I'm just saying,
what was occurring at our residence.
Right. When you should have been listening to a sermon, you spoke to me in such a scary way that Kate, who hasn't heard that tone before and wouldn't have a reason to classify it in any particular way, was fearful for my life. And I was fearful for my life.
I found that very strange because I wasn't trying to scare you at all, and I don't know what about it.
But you need to understand that that's a pathological way for a man to talk to a woman. And it's a predatory way for a man to talk to a woman. And it's an abusive way for a man to talk to a woman. It's a scary way for a man to talk to a woman.
In what way was it scary or abusive? I would like to not do that to you because that's certainly not my intention.
Okay, you should not corner me in a hallway when you're supposed to be listening to a sermon ever. You should not.
I didn't corner you in a hallway, Aaron.
You did not have my...
You
did not have...
Right.
You knew that you did not have my consent. You knew that you could have messaged me in our family wizard the night before. You knew you could have messaged me that morning. I know, but you knew that there was a boundary that we not speak without other... You knew that I had set a boundary back in September that we not speak without a third party. You knew that boundary, and you went out of your way to subvert it without my consent. That is predatory.
I'm sorry.
I'm not being... No. This is not about me. This is not a matter of female sensitivity.
Of what?
This is not a matter of female sensitivity. This isn't, you need to understand how she perceived it and be sensitive to what it is that she's feeling. Like, this is not about that. The men who know what you did in that hallway were fearful for my physical safety.
There were no men in the hallway. So.
I know, but Kate went home and told her dad.
Okay.
She doesn't have any reason to misrepresent your tone or your behavior or the fact that you weren't respecting my communication boundaries.
I was not aware that that was a problem. I'm sorry.
She didn't even know that we had.
She
didn't even know that we had a communication boundary, and she was able to tell just by the way that you followed me.
I didn't know that we had a communication boundary because we both stopped to talk about it.
There would have been no reason to go and get me alone.
The first time you indicated that you weren't okay talking about it was when you walked off, and I did not block you.
That's not true. I indicated in September that I wasn't comfortable talking to you at all without a third-party present.
Well, I was confused because you stopped to talk to me.
I didn't stop to talk to you. I went in the nursery to drop off Simon. You stood at the doorway so that I was unable to physically exit the nursery without passing you. I walked through that hallway. That's the way to get back to my seat. That's the way to get back to my seat to listen to the sermon.
Okay. Like I said, I apologize. I did not mean to make you scared.
it's not about how I felt, Dustin. It's not at all about how I felt. It's about the fact that you engage in predatory behavior. The fact that you are emotionally abusive. The fact that you do not respect reasonable boundaries that other men respect. And that is the context of the behavior, that people were physically scared of you because you were displaying really unstable, physically scary behaviors.
I mean, if
What's-her-face was scared of me, that's news to me. I held her children. Ever had any interaction that indicated...
Not since that day, you haven't. Not since that day.
Well, that's true. I haven't been at their house anymore, but...
Yeah, she was scared.
Do you think the way for us to have a relationship is for me to not have any opinions?
I mean, that's the shortcut way, yeah. Absolutely. For example,
how does
this thing about
not having opinions.
I did it for 18 years. Eight.
You're not a person that doesn't have opinions.
Effectively, I didn't, Dustin. Like, I submitted to you in every way.
You want to have a marriage where the husband submits to the wife, basically?
Yeah, that would, in this case, that would be appropriate for probably a 5-year probationary period.
Probationary period?
Because, yeah. Yeah, probation.
For what?
Huh?
Probation?
Yeah. Like, a period of time where you admit that you've been really abusive to me. And because of your abuse, that it makes sense that you no longer have the power and control that you have.
How am I supposed to work? How am I supposed to do anything?
Basically, however I tell you. That, and that's not unreasonable.
I'm 100% committed to our
I know, but
and our family.
But what I know is that you're going to take these reasonable things and then at the end of 5 years, flip them around on me to try to convince me that you were so perfect and I was the one who was so controlling all along. Like we know your tactics.
I do at the end of our probationary period.
Well, you're doing it right now. Like, you're trying to blame me for that creepy thing you did in the hallway. It's, you know, it's,
But I'm sorry.
Right, you're sorry for how
I'm serious about trying to make this work, so if you're saying that I need to not have opinions, then...
Yeah, but you also don't get all the decision-making. Like, you also don't get to make all the decisions. You don't get to say, I'm working for American Classic Homes, I don't care if you like it or not. Like, that life is over.
What?
I said we don't get to sit in the McDonald's living room with 5 people all telling you need to quit that job, and you say, I'm not doing that. We don't get to say you need to leave work at 4:30, and you say, I'm not doing that. We don't get to say you're going to spend time thinking of ways that selfishness has affected your life, and you say, I'm not selfish. That life is over. We're not just saying don't have opinions. We're saying actually submit your actions to other people's judgment because your judgment has been found sorely lacking and destructive.
All right. I'm here.
Go to therapy. I missed a class. I may or may not take my phone away. If you have to do.
What?
As I'm looking to take a different marriage. I'm here at Honey Lake. Therapy soon. I've missed a class. They may take away my phone.
What? But it's only the last, whenever I say what, I always didn't hear the last part because your voice trails off. So if you just start with the last part, what?
To do.
Say that again, just that part.
What do you want me to do?
What do I want you to do? What do you mean, what do I want you to do?
I mean, with my situation, I do want to make our decision.
What?
What do you want me to do?
What do you mean?
I gave you my situation, saying that I had no opinions, and you're going to decide things. I'm asking what you want me to do today.
Oh, you're saying you want that to be the plan for, like, everything in life.
I'm saying if that's...
Like
together, then that's what I'm doing.
Like how much money you're allowed to spend?
I don't know. I don't have an opinion on that.
You're saying that you're submitting to me on that. Like, if I give you an allowance and you want to buy more than your allowance, then you're not going to have an opinion about it. You're just not going to spend the money because you don't have it in your allowance, right?
Is that what you're doing? Is that what you're agreeing to? What?
I think I'm going to talk it over with my therapist.
Oh, okay.
I don't think we have a choice. Whatever it takes to save our family is what I am committed to do.
What? Hello?
I don't have a choice. Whatever it takes to save our family is what I am.
Can't hear you.
I don't think we have a choice. Whatever it takes to save our family.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, you can tell Ethan with this. Does he already know about, like, that day that you went to see Neil because the church wasn't there for you while you were suicidal?
I think so.
He doesn't know about that?
I think so. I don't remember.
You think he does know?
I think so.
Okay. Well, just tell him that, that the context was that you had essentially cornered your wife in the hallway when the sermon was starting, and you knew that she was going to drop your kid off in the nursery and couldn't get back to her seat without passing that hallway, and that you confronted her about having a man in her kitchen at a time when it didn't really make sense that for you to be driving by her house because you were supposed to be with kids in Jacksonville.
I was with her.
And that, what?
All right.
I mean, I know, but there's a creepiness level of driving past somebody's house and spying on them.
You've already been,
I know, but we have enough, like, case history to prove that we had a plan in place for you to be able to come get tools when you needed it. Like, there had been repetitions of you sending me a message. There were repetitions of you sending me a message saying that you needed to get something and me messaging you back, absolutely, anytime, unrestricted access, please just let me know when you've left so I know it's safe to come back. We have enough case history of you following that procedure to say that you absolutely knew about that procedure. And if you drove by and needed a tool and you felt like you shouldn't get it because I was there, you could have pulled over and you could have sent me a message that you wanted to get a tool. And I could have made a decision about whether I wanted you to just get it while I was there or whether I wanted to leave and have you message me when you left. Like, you knew that. Well, but for me to get cornered in a hallway the next day and get confronted, exactly, cornered in a hallway the next day and me get confronted about having a man in my house in a way that took some tactical maneuvers for you to get me alone when you knew that we weren't supposed to be talking without a third party present, and in an accusatory and shaming manner to the point where a third party who overheard it from down the hallway was fearful for my physical safety. And you're then doing and saying other
things. That's a little bit bizarre. All I did was ask you whether
it's not bizarre. No, that was not bizarre. Okay. It is bizarre for you to be driving by and not telling me that you're driving by.
That was not bizarre. I have two
that is bizarre.
House.
No.
And I did tell you.
You were from Jacksonville, you had plenty of opportunity to tell me well ahead of time that you needed to come by.
We weren't in Jacksonville. We were in Fernandina.
Okay. Well, you had plenty of time. You could have messaged me that you needed to come by. You chose not to. And then after the fact, like after you drove by the house, you're like, oh, there's a man there. Hey, Keith, we can't stop. Your mom has a man in the kitchen. Oh, no. This is your house. I know that you live there, but we can't stop. We're just driving by, Keith. Like, to put them through that and then still not message me, hey, I drove by the house and I didn't get my tool because it looked like there was a man in my kitchen. And then to get up the next morning with something in your mind, I need to find out who that man was, and then not, like, message your wife, hey, who was that man in our kitchen when I drove by to get a tour yesterday? And then when I don't answer you directly because I'm really uncomfortable talking to you alone and really uncomfortable about the fact that I don't even know what you're talking about or why you're talking to me as though I've done something shameful, and your response to me, I'm willing to spend money to find out. Like,
what?
Then that was your response. Like, you don't have to tell me. I'm willing to spend money to find out. Like, you were behaving really erratically. And you don't find this surprising. You know what headspace you were in. You know. Like, CA knows because you called him. Like, you were losing it. Buddy, you were losing it big time. Anybody can say you were definitely losing touch with reality. And anybody can say that
I was losing touch with reality?
Yeah.
How did I lose touch with reality? There really was a man in our kitchen, and I really don't know who it was.
I know, but to think that you should not message me about it, to think that I needed to be confronted about it, to think that I should be ashamed of it.
Aren't you? And
like,
I asked you who it was.
Yeah.
It's a totally reasonable question to know my house with my wife.
Okay, first of all, no, it's not. That's creepy to think that you have a right to know everything your wife does. That is creepy right there.
I never said that I have a right to know everything you do, but...
I know, but the fact that you wanted to cause...
I'm assuming you still don't want to tell me who was in there.
What? You hear yourself right now. Like, you definitely lose in touch with reality. I'm just saying, like, this is weird. Everybody who knows me knows that this is weird. It doesn't make sense for you to act this way towards me.
You're the one that brought this up, Dan. I don't...
No, I'm saying you need to understand that people were physically scared of you. You need to understand that your behavior was predatory. You need to understand that your behavior was pathological. You need to understand that your behavior was abusive. You need to understand that you've used those kinds of behaviors with me ever since we were dating for only 6 months. And up until now, you've been able to do them all behind closed doors. To keep me ashamed, to keep me owning everything, to keep me accountable to you, to keep me under your control, to keep me scared of you, to keep me walking on eggshells. And as long as they were behind closed doors and nobody else knew about it, they were really effective tactics. But when somebody sees that demeanor for the very first time, and right off the bat, the very first time they see it, as a third party, they can go, wow, he's scary. He might hurt her. Validates for me that what I've been experiencing, what I've been experiencing all these years,
that I would.
I know that to treat somebody that way is not normal. To treat somebody the way you treated me in that hallway is predatory, pathological, abusive, and threatening. And it feels normal to you to treat me that way because you've done it since time immemorial.
It was in our house. I didn't threaten you or...
Yes. For you to follow me down a hallway when the order of business...
It's a public hallway.
Sherry listens to a sermon.
Public hallway at our church. Yeah.
Right. Did anybody else...
I won't follow you down the hallway.
Somebody. But you're trying to normalize it right now, and that's not a normal thing.
I'm not.
The context here is that you're behaving as a predator, and the context is that a lot of people thought that you might be ready to shoot somebody and hurt somebody. And that wasn't unreasonable for anybody to think that
way. That's actually an extremely unreasonable statement for somebody that's never physically, like, made any threats against anybody for anybody in that church that knows me to say, he could physically hurt somebody or shoot somebody. It's, like, a little bit extremely insane, quite honestly.
It's not.
It is.
It's completely reasonable based on your behavior.
Utterly irresponsible rhetoric to say to my wife or to anybody else, and that is why it's not safe for me to be there.
Completely reasonable based on your behavior.
Sorry.
And that's what's so powerful about your behavior that morning in that hallway.
No, go for it.
Is because it is threatening. And yeah, you are careful enough not to use the words that the police could put a restraining order on you for using the word.
I'm sorry.
You know what you can get away with saying and still threaten me. You know how you can shame me. You know how you can try to embarrass me. You know how you can make me uncomfortable. You know how you can cross my boundaries. You know what you can get away with doing that's going to influence my behavior and make me feel bad and make me feel uncomfortable without getting you arrested. You know.
Aaron.
You know.
I don't know. I know that as well as you. I'm not a lawyer. You know that I've never actually done anything that's gotten me arrested because I've never actually threatened you or anybody else.
So. That's not true. That's not true. No. That's not true. You've not gotten arrested
I'll
tell you why. You've not been arrested. You've not been arrested.
I'm trying to imagine how this opinion thing's going to work.
You've not been arrested because you kept me in a situation of being scared to call the police. Because I know how you verbally flip it all around on me. It's to flip it around on me. It's just like when BJ, like, strangled his girlfriend and she called the police and she got arrested. Like, you're that good. You're that good. And I know it. And I knew it.
I'm trying to figure out a way for this to work, but I'm trying to not have an opinion.
Well, the opinion has to include I behaved in a predatory manner. The opinion has to include it wasn't reasonable of me to drive past that house without letting my wife know I was coming. The opinion has to include it wasn't reasonable of me to call CA to tattle on her for having a man in our kitchen when I know her character and I know that she's married and I know that she's not seeing another man because that's obvious. Like, if you're going to have an opinion, it has to include that you were out of touch with
reality. It's not super obvious when you're divorcing me and there's a man in my kitchen. That's not super obvious.
It is, because you know me, just like everybody else knows me. It's super obvious. Now, it might not be super obvious to Ted, because he doesn't know my character, so you can paint it to him as though your wife is leaving you and seeing another man. But you know me, and anybody who knows me knows that that is really, really irrational thinking to be able to get to that place in your mind. Anybody who knows me knows that you've gone off the deep end when you start thinking about Aaron Dufo in that way.
Sorry, Joe.
And so
I confronted you in the hallway. Sorry.
I know, but it's not just that, like that. It's not that that action is a problem because it scared me. It's that you are, at your core, a predator. And it is that when Aaron and Allison are behaving in a certain way on that same day that you behaved as a predator within the four walls of their church.
Allison wasn't even there.
Yeah, I went to her for sanctuary. Sam was so super sad that I was so sad. Lying in bed that night. He was almost asleep. And he said, Mom, he was almost asleep in bed that night. He was groggy. And he turned his head just enough to look at me lying beside him and said, Why did you say that you would come right back from taking somebody to the nursery and you didn't come back? And it scared him. It took away his security. It broke his heart. It's not right. It's not right for a mom to say, I'll be right back, buddy, and then not come back. That's not okay. That is extraordinarily damaging to his sense of attachment and security in this world. I did go to Allison for sanctuary because I was fearful of you.
I'm sorry.
And so you have to give it the full weight of the context that you were being a predator.
I'm about to miss my therapy.
Okay. Well, I'm not trying to accuse you of all of that just for the sake of it. I want you to understand the context of Aaron and Allison's behavior. And that it was completely reasonable, and they were using excellent discernment. And it doesn't change their love.
What does that have to do with me saying goodbye to my children when I only get to see them every other weekend? Not.
Because you could have said goodbye to them in the
summer. And what's that? So they have to smirk at me. He could say something personable, or like. Just be generally
friendly.
Do you
understand that you're taking people's reactions to you behaving in a scary, threatening, predatory manner?
No, I don't.
And trying to divert attention from your extremely disturbing antisocial behaviors. It does not make sense for you to divert blame for a facial expression onto another person.
No, it's not just a facial expression. I mean, we're talking about a whole pattern of behavior here.
I know, but you want to talk about the smirk on his face.
Right, that was just the last time I allowed myself to be subjected to it.
But can we talk about all the facial expressions that you used from July through December? Like, they're the actual acts.
I don't remember those.
That's what I'm saying. You want to somehow take the fact that people respond to your abuse as some kind of justification for your abuse. Like, if you weren't doing the abuse, those things wouldn't be happening. He wouldn't be having a facial expression in response to you abusing your wife in the church hallway if you didn't abuse your wife in the church hallway. So the solution is really simple. Don't do that in the church hallway. Not divert attention to the fact that he had a facial expression. It's the same as me divorcing you. You don't need to go around diverting attention to my unbiblical no grounds for divorce when you could just say, oh, let me notice that there were never biblical grounds for my abuse in the first place. Like, none of these things are these people's faults. You can take ownership of your actual creepiness.
All right. Sounds good. I think I'm gonna go.
Bye.